Hello and welcome to the Matt's Movie Reviews Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Perkovich, and this is episode number 74. Today, my guest is Luke Spark, writer and director of the uniquely original Australian horror thriller Red Billabong, which opens in select Australian cinemas this Thursday, the 25th of August. Please go to redbillabongmovie.com to find out which cinema near you will screen the film. Luke, I thank you very much for talking with me today.
That's okay. It's good to be on here.
So, Red Billabong is a movie, I mean, that's been in the making for several years now, from development to post-production. I mean, how does it feel now with the film ready to be unleashed upon the movie going public?
Yeah, it's like, we've been around the country doing advanced screenings and that, which has gone extremely well, better than I ever thought it possibly could be, which is always good to see. It has been a long time. Independent movies do take a long time. I feel really good about it. It's just a shame that the Australian cinemas need to get behind Australian films more. So we're doing everything we can to push it out to as wide a release as we can. So yeah, that's where we're at.
So what can the Australian public do in regards to having cinemas screen your films near them?
I think, and it's not just for my film. I hope my film might be a catalyst to get cinemas to realise that Australian genre films do have an audience. So really we're just asking people to write to the Facebook pages or Twitter of the cinemas to let them know that they would like to see this movie, and that's basically what they can do right now. It's unfortunate that we've had a few Australian releases recently, independent films come out that haven't done that well at the box office, but they've been different genres to this film, but we sort of get lumped in the whole Australian films. If people don't like one, they won't like everyone, which I find is a bit ridiculous when this movie is completely different to other movies that come out recently. So a lot of the cinemas that we did have booked are now taking a wait-and-see approach of the first weekend. Unfortunately, the first weekend, there's not many screens showing it, so we need people to get out there and jam-pack the theatres so we can get pushed out to a wider release.
That is very true, and I urge everyone out there listening to make sure you get in touch with your cinemas or multiplex and make sure that we do get Red Billabong on screens. In regards to the film itself, I mean, this is a movie with many elements to it. I mean, it's a creature feature. It delves into Aboriginal mythology. I mean, it's a film about family. I mean, which idea came first to you that kind of sprouted itself into the movie you have now?
Which elements came first?
Yeah, which storyline kind of came first to you? Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, the story of the creature came first. To make an independent film in Australia, as I said, is extremely difficult. And a lot of filmmakers, by necessity, have to go down the route of, you know, doing a inspirational drama, or not really inspirational in Australia. It's more a dark and gloomy drama film to play in the festival circuits to get some sort of traction for their name as a director. So I wanted to do something different and make my name known, that I want to make fun action adventure films, which Australians don't really do that often, apart from the 80s. So I set about on looking back on the mythology and Australian mythology and what hasn't been done, and the name of this particular creature kept coming up, and I'd known about the creature before, so I was like, well, how come no one has done this before?
Yeah.
So I knew it would obviously be, you know, independent, so on a budget. So that's where then the whole idea came from, that I have to surround the movie's creature with really interesting characters, or at least interesting enough to have a storyline connected that the audience might be connected to, because you can even have the best visual effects in the world, but if they don't care about the characters, then kind of just you're watching something, you're not engaging in something.
True.
And then that's where the whole story of the family came about. I've got four brothers myself, family of five boys, so I sort of writing from what I know. So that's where the brother story came in, and then just a whole bunch of other crazy stuff came to me throughout the film of all these different characters. And so the movie's about, you know, obviously a creature, but at its core, it's also this family drama that has their own demons they have to face, and, you know, but in a light, action-adventure sort of way.
Yeah, and I think that's a real strength of the film, in that even though people are, like, promotional-wise, people are going to see it as a creature feature, there's other elements to it that really do keep you intrigued, and I think that's a really great thing about it.
Yeah, that's what we went in. All the actors, you know, were really fantastic to work with, and we went in saying, not only would you have to make people care about these characters, but we sort of said, if we can throw in, you know, some nice, funny quips and one-liners, and if you start laughing with a character, you might start caring about a character, rather than, like I said before, just sitting there blankly watching a movie sort of going and not engaging in it. But luckily, like I said, the advanced screening audiences have been laughing all the right places, people kind of don't realize that it is kind of a bit of a sort of funny movie. And when they walk out, this is, you know, characters like BJ, for example, who I didn't expect people to like at all, have sort of people coming out and saying, oh, he's my favorite character. And I was like, okay, great.
Excellent. I mean, let's talk about yourself, your history as a... your history in the movie industry as a filmmaker and a costume advisor. I mean, your stuff was more in regards to the war genre, productions such as Yesterday's History, Beneath Your 60. I mean, logic would dictate that your directorial feature would be in within that war genre. So why a horror movie to kind of introduce yourself in such a big way?
Yeah, it's an interesting turn. Not really a sort of background a lot of directors have. Like I said, I've grown up doing costumes and props behind the scenes. I've been lucky enough to work on some huge film sets, and I've always said to people, if you ever want to get into the film industry in any capacity, just try to get on film sets, because there's so much wealth of information that you don't realize that you can pick up just by standing and watching. I know people now who are like runners and drivers in big films, and now they're associate producing smaller films because they're making connections, they're learning how the process works, because it's a whole different world.
Yeah,
as you said, it would make sense to have a war film first, and I do have a war film, a big epic film that we were trying to get up back in 2012, called The 34th Battalion.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's been in a long period of gestating, and just to do a war film properly, that like especially a film about Anzacs, which hasn't been done properly about the Western Front in 1916-1918,
yep.
To do that properly cost a lot of money.
Yeah,
and I didn't want to compromise that script. Especially with a first-time filmmaker, you're going to these studios and they're sort of saying, you're a first-time filmmaker, you've got no record, you're asking for $20 million, you're nuts, you know.
Yeah.
So I sort of had to say, well, if I don't want to compromise that, we should then move on to something else. So I sort of put that on hold and then had the Bill of Bonds already half-written and push that forward to at least get it out there to say, look, we have the capacity to make a fun movie. You know, it's not, you know, it's not the best movie ever made. It's a fun action-adventure for Saturday afternoon popcorn film. And that's what people are saying. Now they're saying that, oh, okay, there's some talent here, there's some, you know, the movie has a beginning, middle, and end, and now that's hopefully going to be able to allow us to then make more movies that are fun and exciting, and also ones like The 34th Battalion that are really epic. And I'm really looking forward to moving on to that film, hopefully next year.
I mean, to me, the timing for Red Billabong is just right. I mean, the subject of cryptozoology is very popular at the moment. I mean, there's many podcasts and TV shows kind of dedicated to it. I mean, where do you stand on the subject? Are you a believer, or is it something that's more of a thing of fascination as a filmmaker?
I think it's a bit of both. I'm fascinated by all that kind of cryptozoology and just, you know, universe, aliens, anything that people might think is a little crazy. I'm fascinated by that. I guess I'm a little believer in, you know, any of that stuff as well. I've always been a bit of a believer in all that supernatural and cryptozoology and the universe and things under the ocean, you know, megalodons, and I don't know, I've grown up with people like Spielberg and Cameron and George Lucas that can really make you sort of believe when you watch these movies, and really, I guess, as a kid, just fascinated, so just carried on.
Very true.
I'm a big kid.
Very true. Same here. I grew up with the same movies as well, and that's why I love Red Billabong, because I feel it kind of touches that kind of spirit of those movies.
Yeah, great, thanks.
So let's talk about the creature itself. I mean, this is the first Australian film to feature a complete CGI character. In this case, it's the monster in your monster movie. I mean, design-wise, what were your inspirations and influences that kind of helped create the design of the creature?
I had an original sketch which I did myself after writing it of how I wanted to see it, and it wasn't that far off the end version, but you have to let artists do their thing, and we got in a great concept artist and we had like 100 different designs, and I walked in and I said, oh, I like his head and his body and his back and his legs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then I got put onto the CGI guys who have worked on some great films like The Avengers. We had a guy who worked on, you know, part of working on The Hulk. He was working on the film and that, so it was great to obviously work with complete professionals to be on set with them. And then they took it through their design process as well. So by the time you get to the end, it's been through like 20 different people. But basically, I just wanted him to cut a sort of very traditional monster. Like when you look at the silhouette of a monster, you kind of like, you know, you get those big arms and the big body and the little head with the red eyes. And I just wanted to cut that shape to be like, oh yeah, I've seen it before. It's familiar, but yet different. We had a few designs come in at the very end where he had a hugely different heads with like three different mouths, and it was cool, but I was like, it's getting a bit ridiculous and people might just not buy this, you know. So I always just want to keep it grounded, but just that traditional looking monster. And I think it turned out not too bad for an Australian movie. If we had we couldn't keep going forever with CGI, but I had to have an end date, had to have a release. We've had just not many, you know, with an independent film's budget, not many people working on him, so they've been rushing him through the end, and I think, for what it is, it turned out pretty well.
I think it turned out pretty well as well. I mean, you were working on a limited budget as an independent film, yet your film is filled with blockbuster ideas and blockbuster imagery. What is your strategy, and more to the point, what is your philosophy that you undertook in staying the course and trying to reach your goal as a filmmaker?
Oh, that's pretty deep. philosophy is, sometimes it's like, maybe if you ask me a question in a few months, I might be able to answer a bit better, so I'll try my best. Seeing that we're like in this whole crazy world of releasing this film right now, I haven't really, even though it's been years, it's just been such a rush for me. I sort of look back sometimes and think, oh, wow, that worked, and I'll change that, you know, next time, and all that kind of stuff. But I guess the philosophy was, I wanted to set out to make, you know, a fun popcorn movie, as you said, with blockbuster ideas, on an Australian budget. And I guess every day was just making sure that's what I wanted to do, and just kept that course. Luckily, it was in one way independently financed. But it was completely independently financed by us, and in that way, it gave me total freedom. There was no studio, there was no screen bodies, there was no anyone over my head to sort of get in there and screw up my vision. So what you see in the film, for the better or for the worse, is basically my complete control. So I think that's the strength that it has, to at least show people to say, well, this is our idea, this is how I want to approach Australian films, to make exciting films for people that actually want to go see, not dreary dramas that, even though our dramas are great, we make great dramas in this country, just to offset that, if people want to go see a fun Australian movie, here's a fun movie with Australian imagery, Australian soundtrack, and, you know, uniquely Australian. And the overseas market gets it because it's already sold to Japan and Vietnam, and they're doing cinema releases later on this year.
Yep.
So it's just a shame that the Australian cinemas are still a bit weary about it. So I know it doesn't answer your philosophy question, but that's the best I can do right now.
Well, it's a great answer. And look, I just got to congratulate you on the film. I watched it last night. I loved it. Great work on it, and I encourage everyone out there, get in touch with your cinemas and your multiplexes, and just let them know to screen Red Billabong, because I think it's a film, as you said, we'll put the fun back in Australian film. Luke Spark, I thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you very much.